needing to be shown that Jesus had come back to life. And that's taken in John 20, John chapter 20, verse 29, 28, 27. Basically, if you go to John chapter 20, 24 through 31 gives you that snapshot of what's taking place. And how fitting that is. It's, you're looking at this, it's 8 days out of the resurrection. We find it here. And it's, we know the story. Verse 24 talks about Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus had come on that Easter morning. Other disciples therefore said to John, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "This is John. Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and into his side, and things of this nature, I will not believe." I will not believe. I will not believe. Today I want to tell you that by believing, it gives us life. If there's a title or whatever we put on our recordings for the website, believing gives us life. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Unless I see him physically, unless I can put my hands upon the prints of the nails and the hands and the feet and the side, I will not believe. There's many people out there today that are like a Thomas, aren't they? I don't believe that happened. I didn't see that happen. Did you see that happen? Well, of course not. I'm only 32 years old. I'm only this age. I wasn't born back then. But I read God's Word, and I take God's Word for what God's Word is, His Word. Written by men, penned by men, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. Do you agree? So I read His Word and I believe His Word because it's God's Word. I don't need man to tell me anything differently. I'm glad there were men there to pen this so that we would have history, historical or history of this event taking place. We find in John where he's talking, and I will not believe if I can't physically see this. And then it goes on in verse 26, "And after 8 days his disciples were once again inside." 8 days. Today is 8 days. From the time that we had celebrated. It'd be kind of like this time frame. 8 days, here we are. Do we have any Thomases here that says, "Unless I can see him physically and put my hand upon him, I will not believe"? I hope we're all here today saying, "I do believe." Amen. If you believe, say amen. Amen. If you really believe, say amen a little bit louder.
Amen.
There you go. Now you sound like you're born again. Hallelujah. Don't be shy. So here we are. 8 days later, they're together again. Thomas was them. Jesus comes in. And the doors are being shut and stood in the midst. We don't understand doors being shut. There's some thinking of that as well. He just kind of floated in there. There's some that think maybe the door opened and Jesus walked in and it closed. You know, There, it doesn't descriptively say, other than he says he was just there. The door was shut. We know one thing, the door was what? Shut. And we know one thing after that is, Jesus was there. And Jesus says to them, "Peace to you." He says to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but what? Be believing." We've got a message to share with people today of trying to get them out of their unbelief and into their belief of the things that Jesus has done for them. And we can't do it on our own power. I'm not saying that, right? It's only by that of the Holy Spirit. We can't go out there. You know, you could club them, you can hit them, you can do whatever you want to make them believe. They might believe just to get you to keep from hitting them. But do they really believe in their heart? So we can't do that, but just because we can't physically make them believe, it doesn't tell us that we should not try to make them and share the story. That's what Jesus is wanting us to do, to make believers out there. Thomas answered and said to him, "Oh, my Lord, my God." Oh, boy, was I dumb. Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those. And I shared that last week, that blessed, and what that was all about. So today I'm looking at this, and we just read that scripture of John 20, 26 to 29. We find people thinking that if they could just see a definite sign or a miracle, then they would believe in Jesus. Do you agree with that? Have you heard that out there in society? If we could just see, I'd believe. But Jesus says that we are blessed if we can believe without seeing a sign or a miracle. Today we have all the proof we need. We read it in our Bibles. We read it as the testimony of believers. Amen? It should not take a physical appearance or some sign and wonder to make Jesus any more real than he really is already to us. We don't need signs and wonders. I've said that many times within myself, in my spirit, within my thinking, because we always think about it, and he talks about signs and wonders and how it will draw and this, and people need to see these. I'm thinking, you know what, Lord, I don't need to see signs and wonders. I already believe. By faith, I believe. If I see a sign and a wonder, praise God. When somebody is healed, even ourselves sometimes we go, really? You got healed? even after we pray for that, we ought to, we're getting better at saying like, well, of course, we prayed for you. We lifted you up in our prayers. I lifted you up in my prayer, whatever the case is. And I don't find that surprising that you were healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've got to be careful because even this past week, talking within some of the Wednesday group of pastors that I was with, we went through and just talked about so many things, and some of it was about how the Easter services, visitors, salvations, blah, 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 all these things. I shared in Sunday school how most, if not all, said there was really, even though the message was given, Jesus Christ died for you. If you don't have him as your Lord and Savior, you can receive him. His blood cleanses you of your sins. That there wasn't any salvations that were received that we understand now by our own insights, by looking, because nobody came to altars. They said people didn't even raise their hands. I go, I've been there, done that. But we don't know, as we discussed, that they got the word. They got the seed. We talked in Sunday school, the incorruptible seed. Amen? See, the seed that we're sharing, the seed that we're planting, it's a seed that is incorruptible. It will not perish. Amen? This seed is alive. This seed will grow. All we need to do is just scatter the seed and let the Spirit do. So we looked at that. We said, wow, okay. What's going on? Not much salvations. No people came to the altars. There wasn't a whole lot of what you would think as what used to be times gone by. Our next area of conversation was, we've had prayer and this person and that person in different groups in their churches and outside the church. Maybe this person only attends, sporadically or whatever the case might be. They're going through some kind of a situation and prayer was given. Prayer was offered up for that particular need. Several pastors shared about how some of these people were brought back from health issues. Some were healed of cancer. Some that had tumors had cancer. Whatever the case might be, were prayed for. They go back to the doctor, and the tumor is gone without doctor intervention. That's a miracle. That's a healing. But the pastors would say, but I didn't see them back at church the next Sunday. They haven't come for 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. We had prayer. They were touched. They had a sign and a wonder. Didn't we, in our own thinking process, that would draw the people to Christ? It doesn't. It is not until you have a heart change. Praise God. I shared with pastors down in another group of meetings. I said, what is crazy, because down in this other group and Beloit, they were right after Easter talking about things. And it was like, what's amazing with God is that you don't have to be saved, be born again, to be healed of God. Because God will do phenomenal things only at his discretion and what he wants to do. You know, so we got to get past that thing of saying, well, you know, yes, number one, the most important thing is their salvation, where they're going to spend eternity. We need to pray for their salvation first before we pray for their healing of cancer, heart disease, whatever the case is, right? That's the most important thing. But as we lift them up, many times I prayed, Lord, you know, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that through this, you will gain an entrance into that heart to where they will receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for their healing of that disease, of that whatever the situation is. Lord, touch them in a miraculous way. Manifest healing. Whatever. Lord, have your way. And they get healed. But yet they don't come. I wonder sometimes if it's not just the church people wanting to put on a dog and pony show to kind of say, look what my God can do. Now, He is all-powerful. He can do those things. We have stories like that in the Old Testament. You know, the sorcerers and things. You let your sorcerers, your wizards and all those things, and that's all you can do? Well, now let me show you what my God can do. He is a God of that power. But I think we've got to be careful that we don't think that we're going to make a big splash of signs and wonders and that the churches are going to be filled. I don't think it's going to happen that way. Because I believe there's so many people that have been touched and healed of God that are not Christian, but yet they didn't come. Or they might be Christian. They attend once every 5 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever, and they get touched by that. If I had some kind of a tumor, I had some kind of a life-threatening thing in my body, and that was healed totally, and I went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, it's no longer there. You've got perfect health. I believe I would be at church every Sunday. Every Sunday, Monday and Tuesday, I'd be sitting at the doorstep, if nothing else, just, you know, sweeping the things or something. I don't know. Now I say that, do I really know if that's what I would do? I got flesh, I'm human. But I'm just saying that we think that we need signs and wonders to excite the people into receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. And those are for a time and a place. But it's only at a time and a place that God designs it to be. Whether it's in a church service, whether it's at your job, whether it's praying for somebody on a street corner and they get touched by God, it's only for God to do those things. We are to be that conduit. We're to be walking out there because, see, I'm the one that I don't need to see a sign and a wonder to know that my God is powerful. I don't need to see a sign and a wonder to know that I have salvation through Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that He died for me, that He bled for me, that He came back to life, and it's there now that He says, I go to prepare a place for you. These things that I see and that I think that you see in your natural eyes and hear about this life, believe it, guys, and I think you already know it, this is all temporary stuff that's happening. It don't amount to a hill of beans. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend eternity? What is eternity? Does eternity ever end? Eternity goes on. Eternity is perpetual. It's an ongoing time. We are all going to be spending perpetual eternity somewhere. There's two places. We had a little bit of discussion that in Sunday school. I can come up with one, heaven. Where's the other place? Hell. Try to get that across to some of your people out there in the world. They don't believe that either. Prove it. Show me. They're the Thomases saying, I will not believe unless I see. I will not believe unless this happens. It should not take a physical appearance are a sign and a wonder to make Jesus any more real than He is right now to us. You're the church. You're His children. We talk about being followers of Christ. We will pray for signs and wonders. We will pray for healing. We will pray for all of these things, won't we, folks? But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't do anything to my faith to say, oh, well, maybe it's not what I thought. Because it's only God that understands the beginning to the end. It's only God that understands what that purpose is for that life and why it happened, why it didn't happen. All we are charged to do is go share the good news. It's not for us to make them aware. It's not for us to make them receive the good news. It's not for us to force it down their throat and keep being that pesky person that's like, oh, here's so-and-so, I'm getting away from here, you know. We just need to share the truth. Let God do what God's going to do. I've said many times, if I am nothing more than the plower, if I am nothing more than just breaking up the ground of that person's heart because of a relationship and experience that they can have with me or me with them, that they can say, you're really a pastor, you're really a Christian, and you act, you know, you laugh and have fun, and you're at peace and joy, and aren't you going through tribulations? Oh, yeah, I've had situations, blah, 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 blah. But you're still strong in this faith, you're still strong in this. I want them to say, there must be something to this. As people look at your life, are they saying that same thing after they leave you? Are they saying, wow, there must really be something true to what this person's saying? Because I've witnessed some things that they're going through, and they're remaining steadfast. They're remaining strong with the things of God. I've not heard them curse or cuss out God because this or that happened or didn't happen. Matter of fact, it seems like they get stronger and closer to God. And that's what situations actually will do for us that are followers of Christ, is that it'll draw us closer to Him because we need comfort. We need peace. We need strength. We need. Do you need? We're needy people. In John 20, 30 to 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. God, isn't that amazing? You read that and it's like, wow, all that's been recorded in this book, and yet they're saying this, that the other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, He did many other signs. And then verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in who? His name. Not going to have life in Buddha. You're not going to have life in Muhammad. You're not going to have life in whoever, Hare Krishna. You're not going to have life. You're not going to have life in Tim. Just let you be aware of that. You're going to have life in His name. Jesus! Receiving Him as my Lord and Savior. Why He came and died for me, so that I may have life. John is telling us that this gospel only records a few of the many events in Jesus' life. Now, quickly, I don't think I've got it here in my notes, but jump over where you're at in John. If you've got John 20 open, just go to 21. John 21, 25. John 21, 25. And it goes and it confirms this again about things that Jesus did. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is my Lord and Savior. This is my Jesus. This is the one that I received as my Lord. Hallelujah. Come into my life. I confess you as my Lord. I need you as a Savior. Thank you, Lord. These things that He's done, if everything was written, of all the things that He's done, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books. That's a lot. Wow. Does it make your mind go like tilt? Wow. But that's Jesus. But here's the story here, guys. In our believing in Jesus and understanding the cross, the empty tomb, resurrection day, it gives us the hope that what we're looking for, that what we are needing, the promise of our eternal destination. In verse 31 of John 20, What did I say here? Verse 20. Yeah. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. We're going to be going to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 9. As we're getting that way, the thing is, remember how it said he did so many things that weren't recorded and it would take volumes that the world couldn't even hold? The one thing that is identified throughout Scripture and it's touched upon very strongly and it is mentioned in the Word of God, it talks about salvation. And all the other things that we have are good. But if you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you do not know where you're going to spend eternity, the rest is for nothing. But the thing that is explicitly and notated in Scripture is how to have that eternity guaranteed. How to know that you're going to spend eternity with Him. How you know that when He says, I go, if it were not so, to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you there will also be. His Scriptures, the words that we read, are very evident to that. That was the driving point, I believe, of the gospel, the good news, the things that we preach and teach and share. You know, let's give Him the good stuff. Yeah, that's happy and abundance, and He'll provide and He'll give you this or that. But I tell you again, salvation is the one thing that you need above all else. And turning to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. 3 to 9. Let me just read it there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Through what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has begotten us and given us to us a living hope, the resurrection, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. An inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and it does not fade away. Verse 5, who are kept by what? The power of God through what? Faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. For a little while, if need be. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, You're not the Thomas of saying, unless I see, I will not believe. Amen? He's saying here, in whom, having not seen, you love, though you not seen Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Full of glory, full of glory, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and has yet been told. Hallelujah. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In the beginning of our reading, we find the phrase or the wording in verse 3, begotten us again a living hope. You look at some different versions and things, and looking at this living hope is a born-again experience. That what Nicodemus was talking about, how can I be born again? We might get there as we look at some of this. That's why we tell people about being born again. To have that assurance of faith of our eternity in heaven, reconcile us and back to our Creator God. It's kind of crazy to sit there, you know, have you ever, when you've talked to somebody and said you need to be born again, what's their first looks at you? What are their first words to you? What do you mean? Just like Nicodemus, what do you mean? I am born already. Well, yes, you are born. Physically here, you've been born. We're talking about the spirit. Your spirit's dead. Sunday school, I said, you know, it was like the walking dead before I became a Christian and received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was alive, and you go out, go down Main Street, go to Milton, go anywhere in the mall, the stores, and people are walking around there. And if they don't have that born-again experience, hallelujah, they're the walking dead, and they just don't realize it. John 3:15. Now I'm going to flip back to John. John 3:15, and this is that talking about, really, that Nicodemus experience, the new birth. You can go and begin in John 3 and just read about, you know, Nicodemus. But 3:15, as you go through here, I think this is where I want to look at. It says in 3:15 that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. We go back to verse 14. It's talking about Moses. As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That was talking, as Moses was talking about the serpent on the stick and that, you know, as far as life and all, Jesus must be lifted up. He would be hung on the cross. And that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Our salvation happens when we look up to Jesus, believing that he will save us. He has saved us if we receive him. God has provided this way for us to be healed of sin's grip on us. See, we look at being sick and things of that nature, and we need this and this and that all of out of our life. Well, the first thing we need out of our life is we need sin out of our life. Amen? And to get that sin out of your life, you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have that blood of Jesus washing you as white as snow. Right? Right. Our salvation happens when we look up to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, I'm going to go back, and this will probably be our last place that we turn. 1 John. 1 John 5:13. I'll just go to 11 here, and it says, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in what? His Son. Eternal life is in His Son. Eternal life is not in your actions. Eternal life is not in your giving. Eternal life is not in your water baptism, communion, being good, praying, going to church, doing good, all these things. I mean, everything that I said so far has been pretty good. But it's not going to get you where you need to be with salvation. Eternal life, this life is through His Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has what? Life, or the life, the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And as you try to share this with people, it sometimes is difficult and hard. Because the enemy, the devil, has really done a good job of hardening their hearts, searing their conscience, and they look at things and they go, I'm a good person. I even donate money to causes for the Red Cross and to this or to the Salvation Army. I give. I'm a good person. I do all these things. Sometimes those are the hardest ones to crack, because God or the devil has gotten them in such a comfortable zone of feeling like, because of my actions and what I'm doing, I'm a good person. Don't all good people go to heaven? No, all bad people go to heaven saved by grace. You know? Good people don't get there. Bad people do, but they get there because they've been born again, because their sins have been cleansed of them, because of having a new creation, being born again. But try to get that across to the people you talk to. It's not always easy. It's a challenge, man. It's a challenge out there. You that read the Word, you that study it, you that pray it, you that are in it, and all, it's to us, it's just common nature. It's just like, what don't you get? Now, I probably in the beginning was similar to that person maybe that I'm trying to talk to out there. Well, I don't need that. It's okay. I truly believed at one time, I remember talking to my dad one time, because this was getting early on in church stuff and all, and where I wasn't close to where I needed to be with Jesus Christ. And it's interesting how God replays some things back to you. I can tell you where I was sitting, what took place, where I was at. Down in Waterloo, Illinois, sitting on the deck of the back of my mom and dad's house, sitting on the deck with my dad and me, probably having coffee, country road this way, and an ambulance or something goes somewhere. And I have always been one that you see an ambulance or something like that going, I always lift up a prayer. Lord, help that person out. I pray that nothing's serious. I pray that they get the help that they need. I remember when that went by, telling my dad, you know, I don't know why I think people need church or need the, you know, all this stuff. I said, when something like that goes by, I pray that God would take care of that person. I'm good. I'm a caring person. I'm thinking of the one that maybe that ambulance or that paramedic is going to that they need some help. I'm a good person. I prayed. Wow. Wow. Was I deceived? It wasn't being deceived by my dad. It's just that was me speaking of what I thought it to be, what it needed to be. Thank God for His grace and mercy to keep me alive long enough to understand, Tim, that's a wrong thinking. That's stinking thinking. That's thinking of the devil. Because the devil's got you right where he wants you, just thinking you're good, thinking you're going to go to heaven. And when that time comes and you die, he's got you in hell for eternity. Thank God of his longevity, his long suffering. Thank God for the Word of God that, if nothing else, there's many things that were not written because it would take too many books to fill. But the one thing, the one subject, the one thing that is the most important, that is so vibrant in this book, the Bible, is you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need salvation. You need to know where you're going to spend eternity. You need to know what that cross meant. You need to know what hung on that cross. You need to know that that tomb is empty. You need to know that he walked 40 days after the resurrection. You need to know he showed himself to over hundreds and five hundreds of people afterwards, that this is Jesus that died, and now he's walking around us. He goes back to the seashore and calls out to the disciples, "Are you catching anything yet?" Typical. No. Well, come on in. I've got some fish for you. Well, how did Jesus get the fish? Doesn't say, but he had fish on the fire and things were going, man. They were out there in their futility of trying to take care of themselves. Jesus was resurrected, standing on the shore saying, "Have you caught anything yet, my disciples?" No. Come. I've got something prepared for you. We got to do that message of today to those around us. We need to live the cross, live the empty tomb, live that salvation message. And don't do it in a haughty way. Don't do it in a prideful way. You just do it with what? The love and the compassion of who? Jesus Christ. Talk to that sinner. Talk to the people that are hurting. Talk to the ones that need the doctor in the hospital. Talking about spiritual things. That's where Jesus would go. Give of yourself to those. Now, I'm not going to say because you do that salvations are going to be plentiful and things are going to happen, but you're going to be sharing the seed that's incorruptible, the seed that will not perish. You're sharing something that person, I believe, if they hear the voice, that they hear that message, even though they deny it at the time, I believe my God is strong enough in the Spirit that their heart is open just enough for that seed to go into. And I'm going to pray somewhere along the line, God, you water that word or you bring somebody else into their life that will create or help that seed to sprout into the salvation of that person's life. That's what's important in life. Is the salvation and where that person's going to spend eternity. We got to stop looking out for ourselves and thinking that, oh, well, I know where I'm going. That's all that matters. No. No. There's a lost and dying world out there. How many times have we had Easter and the resurrection story from the very beginning of the foundation of time till today? How many stories have been shared? How many events, how many cantatas, how many programs, how many things have been put on throughout our churches in all these times of centuries of trying to share the message? Most of our messages that we come through for our church is nothing but that of salvation, really. There's times we've had services about healings and these things and all that, but the service everybody needs is the service for salvation. And it's so important to try to tell the people, has anybody ever been told this? Well, once I get good enough, I'll come to church. I got to clean out some of the things in my life. Well, that's another cop-out. That's another thing that the devil's really got them, entrenched in. Well, you can't go until you get this and this and this and this and this out of your life, and then you can go. Brother, sister, you're the very one that needs to be there before all that cleanses out, because if you try to clean it out yourself, it ain't going to work. But you come to church, you come to a service, I don't care if it's at the altar, I don't care. I am firmly believing that I believe people can drive on this parking lot, come in that front door, sit in the very chairs that you're at, and they can be touched miraculously by that of the healing power, of the salvation power, whatever, of God. All we've got to do is preach the message. All we've got to do is stay on the message of the Bible. And don't get into programs, don't get into this, and don't get into that, and all the warm, fuzzy feelings, and all this will happen, and ooh, this is all nice. Like the Partridge Family bus, Oh, it's all well and good. Come on down to my, whatever it is. And what was that, Wayne? Come on and get happy. Come on and get happy. That old psychedelic bus, come on and be happy. We want to be happy. But, hallelujah. Jesus brings joy. Hallelujah. We can be happy. That's part of it. Salvation is the beginning of it. Salvation is the beginning of the rest of the story for your life. Salvation opens up a new chapter for your life. So, where are you at in your book? Has that new chapter been written? Has that new chapter begun? Is it one of those things that it's hard to start? You know, people that say, I want to write a book, you know, write a paper for us, you know, for a class or something like that. You know, it's got to be 3 pages. It's got to be so many words. Well, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good. Well, what have you done so far? Well, I wrote, this is my name. This is the date. And I'm almost done. Sometimes the beginning is the hard part to start. You know, because I truly believe once a person receives Christ and you truly receive him, realizing there's going to be baggage that you're going to have to deal with of your own, but he'll be patient and long-suffering with you there, that you'll be able to drop it off one by one as you give him time, and don't allow the devil to get you frustrated. Don't allow the devil to tell you, well, you silly person, you went to church or you talked to this person at your at the job or whatever. You received this Jesus. How are things going? Well, really, I just got to notice I lost my job. What? And Jesus is going to be your provider? You know, we hear all these negativity of things. But praise God, he's got Jesus in his life now that he's lost his job. Because Jesus is a provider. God will take care of us. Hallelujah. We've got testimonies of that, and people having jobs and multiple jobs that God has given to them to choose from. Go figure that. And those things happen. It's like, okay, Lord, this has happened. I'm not going to be in denial, but I'm not going to deny that you're my God. I'm not denying that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that I've got an inheritance. And all this stuff is an inheritance. It's talking about the future things, eternity and heaven and all that. But God wants you to have a blessed life here as well, believe it or not. And you will and can and have a well blessed life on this side of heaven, even with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Did we ever get to 1 John 5:13? Oh, gosh. No, those pastors that get on a tangent and they don't go and do what they say they're going to do. Thank you, Lord. Pardon? Oh, okay. Oh, that's all right. We're going through there. 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. You have eternal life, that you may know you've got that eternal life. I look at it here in the Amplified. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, which represents all that Jesus Christ is and does. This is Amplified now. So that you will know with settled and absolute knowledge that you already have eternal life because of Jesus. You already have it. That's why when it comes to things of God and people say, what should I pray and how should I? Well, Lord, what should I pray? And it's like, Lord, I've already got the best. I've got you as my Lord and Savior, and I know you're taking care of me. What should I pray? I don't know, Lord. I look at it in the natural side of things. Of I look at that spiritually, and I'm saying I've got it all under cover or all under abilities and things. There's a lot more that I need from God, okay? I'm a work in progress. How about you guys? I know some of you and probably some of my family say, God, could you work a little bit faster? This work has taken a little too long. Or, while they're praying that, I'm praying, Lord, give my family patience. It's like a sword fight. But like in the natural areas of things, I look at it and I think, because people come, you know, kids and whatnot, Christmas, birthday, what do you want, Dad? What can we get you? What do you want? I really come up kind of short. I really, to the point of saying, I really don't know if I need anything else. You know, this or that. Oh, yeah, you know, you could always think, dream. But if somebody's coming to you saying, what would you really like? I just come spend time with us. When I get older, change my clothes. I got some kids that go, "Rrr." I got others that go, "We'll be there for you, Dad." They're probably like their fingers are crossed. "We'll be there for you, Dad." So I like to tease them a lot too. But I honestly say, I don't know if I need any more than what I've got. My family, my kids, my grandkids, my wife. It's, Lord, what more does a person need? And it's times like yesterday when we've got the whole crew there. I was cutting the ham and I said to Dean, "Is this enough?" She goes, "No, we need more than that." "Well, it was only four of our kids. What are you talking about?" "Okay, four kids, four spouses, three grandkids, four grandkids, two grandkids." So cut up more slices of ham. Our family's growing. But, you know, and I'm sure you're like that. But if you just sit and look at the things that God has blessed you with, not necessarily the material things, but just the family things and the material things too. Thank God for a roof over my head and this and that. I really get kind of crazy with some of that stuff. I'm still one that when it's cold outside and the furnace comes on, thank God we got a furnace. And I don't say that jokingly. When it's 100 degrees outside and the air conditioner comes on, thank you, Father, for air conditioning. See, that's living with Him. That's Him living with me. That's me looking around and saying, I can say that my cup is half full. It's not half empty. And if it's half empty, it only means that there's more of God that can be poured into it. And that's a blessing for me. And so, you know, I look at those things in the natural, like I feel I've let a Lord has blessed me abundantly with so many things. So then when I come to Him and things, even the things spiritually, I think, wow, God, I don't, what more do I need? I would like to lose like a few inches off the waist and a few pounds, or grow me taller, one or the other. whatever you want to do, God. We go short. I don't know either. I don't know either, but I leave it up to Him, Lord. What do you want to do? Stretch me or shrink me? But, you know, it's just like, God, you've been so good to me already. And I got Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And wow, I'm living the good life. You know, it's that thing that the world says, life is good. Life is good. Life is great in His kingdom. Life is great with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. When we look at this and we talk about eternal life, life that will last forever, perpetual. Eternal life signifies not only an endless life, but it also talks about a quality of life that comes to those who have faith in Jesus. This life is a present possession of which we can have a confident assurance. It's a present present possession of which we have a confident assurance. But a quality of life that comes to those who have faith. Quality of life. Can you believe that? If you could just share that with somebody, says, receive Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Have a quality of life. Two questions for you today as we end. Number one, have you received Jesus into your heart? Number two, do you have confidence in where you are with Him in your life? I know He's there. I know He wants more of me. Do you think He wants more of you? And I, daily, you know, we talked about those things. I think Curtis was sharing about the things about, you know, pick up your cross daily, you know. Daily, we do these things daily. Where am I at in this, Lord? It's one of those things that I don't think, I know I've not arrived, and I don't think we arrive anywhere close to it while we're on this side of heaven. But it's not to say that we don't keep going, running that race set before you. And it's an endurance race. It's not a short, you know, 50-yard dash and then you're done. You can come, sit in church, read your Bible now and then, give a few tithes. That's it. That's all God wants out of your life. No. God wants more than that. Hallelujah. But I encourage you today, if everyone here has got Jesus as their heart, in their heart, as their Lord and Savior, is having that confidence of where Jesus is at in your life. What do we need to develop closer and more to Him? All of me, Lord. And you know, the Lord is saying, I'm trying to take all of you, Tim, but you've got to surrender this. You've got to give that up. You've got to do more, whatever. That's what I'm waiting for, the Lord would say. And I'm going sometimes, well, what is it, Lord? What is it? What is it? What is it? Just get before Him in prayer with the Holy Spirit. Lord, for that of the Holy Spirit, are we filled with the Holy Spirit? We have the Holy Spirit in us that we say, Lord, help me. Lord, by that of the Spirit, just speak into me, Lord. Tell me, help me understand, where am I missing the mark? I think that's part of what sin talks about being. Sin is missing the mark of what God has for you. So here again, man, if we're missing that mark that God has up here and we want to stay down here, that's in a way of a sin because we're not fully going to that place that He wants us to go to. And that's where it comes down to that point of saying, forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I need your strength to get me to that point. And He's a loving God, and He will do that. Amen? I think in closing, let's just have a prayer. We got one song that we'll have as we get ready to leave. Have you got that queued up okay and on that system? Just for prayer. It's like we were also at that Wednesday pastor thing, we were kind of like, oh, yeah, how many go, okay, with all heads bowed, all eyes closed. I see that hand. I see that hand. I said, I was one of those that sat in the back and my head was always kind of raised up a little bit, my eyes looking over my eye. So I was like, bad boy. That's between you and God anyway, isn't it? I would just say, yourself, raise your hand. Yourself, within your own self. Whatever, if you need to stand, you need to raise your hand. You need to come to the altar. These things are always opened. Don't think that there's a fence here. We don't have a thing here to where you can't get to the altar if you want to spend time for prayer. But I want to close in prayer. And if you do want to have a little bit more intimacy with God, let part of this be your prayer as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your word. Father, out of all the words that we read in your scriptures, Lord, I'm so thankful for that of being our salvation and for the realization of knowing what Jesus came for. He came for me. He came for others. And Father, for what the cross has accomplished and what the tomb has accomplished. And now, as Jesus has ascended and sits at the right hand of you, Father God, I thank you, Father, interceding for us. Father, as we go through life, there's so many things that come in our way. I pray for myself, Lord, and if there's those here today that pray, Lord, the confidence of where I'm at with you, Father, that you are continually the most important thing in my life. And that if you're not the most important thing, that I begin to look that way and to make you that important part. The main part of our lives is that of you, Father God. That we honor you, that we serve you, that we give glory to you, that we don't do things or say things unless you tell us to, Lord, by that of the Spirit. Because we want to bring honor and glory to you. I thank you, Father, right now that you are going to minister through each and every heart that is here today. In some way, in some fashion, wherever we go, may you go with us. Father, we do not leave you in this church when we leave here in just a little bit, but we take you with us as we go out. And for as we go out, the church goes out. And that's what the dying and lost world needs to see, is that church, you. Hallelujah. So we do thank you and praise you, Father, right now. Invigorate us. Stir up the gifts within us, Lord, whatever it might be. Encourage one another, whatever it is, Lord. May we find it more with you than we do with anybody else. We thank you, Lord, for everything. We look forward to more of you in our lives, Lord. Continue to pour into us more of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill us afresh, Father God. We thank you, Lord, right now. Give us that vitality, that life, that joy, that strength. Whatever it is, Lord, that we can be a witness to those out there of your love, of your grace, of what you have for them as well. We love you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I pray that we have that confidence in us, Lord, with you in our life as well. As the word says, where does my help come from? My help comes from you. Amen.